This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We begin today's sermon by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the Majestic, the Exalted, the Lord of all worlds. And we ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. The topic for today's sermon is the enemy from within. Let me repeat, the enemy from within. There's no denying that we are living upon a challenging landscape. We are facing challenges outside of our beings, and we are also facing challenges within. Unfortunately, there are a lot of us who are facing mental health issues, and some of these issues are not even being addressed or spoken about, despite them being elephants in the room. Now, given the few minutes that I have with you all, I want to touch on one aspect. Obviously, despite me talking about mental health issues, I'm not getting into it in this sermon. I want to touch on how at times our spirituality is attacked from within, how our faith is attacked from within. And when I say within, I mean within ourselves. Most of the time we tend to think that these attacks are coming from outside. We think that the enemy is outside. Speaking about it from a spiritual angle, we very swiftly blame who? Shaitan. Now, obviously, we're not letting him go scot-free. He takes a huge share of the blame. Why? Because this is his mission, day in and day out. He wants to try and mislead as many from mankind as possible. But in terms of evil forces, you have to understand that it is not only Shaitan. In terms of enemies, it is not only Shaitan. At times, our worst enemy is ourselves. Let that sink in. At times, your worst enemy is yourself. We find it difficult to acknowledge this. Some of you might be thinking, well, no, I don't agree. Or I don't understand. What are you saying? If I don't feel like doing something in terms of a good deed, or if I'm inclining towards an evil deed, is it not Shaitan? Is it not Shaitan who is pushing me? So why should I blame myself? Or why should I even bring myself into the equation? So we completely sideline that issue. But just to open up perspectives and make you think along a certain angle, if we take the story of Shaitan, the story of Iblis, Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, a renowned historian, famous scholar of tafsir, you've heard of his book, Tafsir Ibn Kathir. You may have heard of that famous book of his, but maybe you've not heard of another book of his called Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. Some of you might have heard of it, the book titled The Book of the Beginning and the End, Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah. It's a book of history. He goes in and discusses things from the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Even before the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and he goes on until after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in that book. Now he makes mention with regards to the story of Iblis, with regards to the story of Shaitan, that many hundreds, if not thousands of years before the creation of mankind, Earth was populated and the jinn populated our planet. They became rebellious. They started to shed blood, cause corruption, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an army of angels to contain them, and most of them were exiled to faraway islands, if you will. Now at that time there was one individual who was not necessarily rebellious. On the other hand, he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was worshipping Allah azza wa jalla. And there are other narrations, but perhaps their authenticity is debated, to state that he was an ardent worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much to the extent that there is not a handspan like this on the face of this earth, except that he has prostrated unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has made sujood unto Allah azza wa jalla. Now when the angels saw this individual, this righteous individual, there are various narrations, but in conclusion, permission was granted for him to ascend to the heavens and take part in the assemblies of the angels. Now this individual is taking part in the assemblies of the angels. He is not an angel. Allah says in the Quran, "Kana min al-jinn." He was from the jinn. He is taking part in the assemblies of the angels, and please bear in mind, this is before the creation of our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, until the day when Allah proclaimed, as he mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. Allah proclaims with regards to the creation of our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then we read in the Quran that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created, our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the first human being, was created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Life was breathed into Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and a powerful command was issued. Usjudu li Adam wa idh qulna lil malaika. Allah commands the angels, and this is why I was saying earlier on that this individual was allowed to be part of the assemblies of the angels. And on that day he was part of the assembly of the angels. And a command was issued to prostrate unto Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now at this juncture, it's a very, very crucial juncture. Some of us might have contemplated on the story in depth, but some of us may have just glossed over the story. If you think about it, it's a crucial juncture. The angels did not apply logic at that juncture. They did not think or ask themselves, why should we prostrate unto Adam? I mean, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who we've been prostrating throughout to. Now, why should we prostrate to Adam? What's the reasoning behind it? No, for them, it was black and white. It's a command from Allah, and we need to heed, we need to obey. And I want you all to imagine and picture the scene. We're talking about an assembly of angels. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. No one knows the number of these angels, the armies and the troops of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about a huge assembly of angels. If you've been part of a gathering where perhaps you have 5,000 people, 10,000 people for a Friday sermon, one time I led the prayers in the United Kingdom and there was a huge crowd. When going down for sujood, you can literally hear this rumble across the crowd as that entire gathering comes down in prostration. When Ameen is said out, you can hear it rippling across. So one can only imagine this entire assembly coming crashing down in compliance to the command of Allah to prostrate unto Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then lo and behold, one lone figure is standing in the assembly in defiance, not willing to comply, not willing to prostrate. And it was asked, and who was that individual? He is the individual we were talking about a while ago, the righteous individual, not a handspan on the face of this earth, except that he has prostrated as per certain narrations. This individual is standing all alone in defiance, not willing to submit, not willing to comply. And it was asked, why are you not prostrating? And his response was, ana khayru min, I am better than him. Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. Oh Allah, you created me out of fire and you have created him out of clay. He deemed himself to be superior. So his question was, why should I prostrate unto him? Now this is the point where I want to stop and highlight. Because this was the beginning of his defiance. And until today, he is banished, he is exiled, and he is known as Shaitan. But on that day, think, let this sink in. On that day when he chose to defy the command of Allah, when he chose to defy the command of Allah, was there a shaitan to influence him? He is shaitan. So what made him defy the command of Allah? Remember what I started off with? The bulk of us, we blame shaitan for everything, right? And we find it difficult to come to terms with blaming ourselves for something. No, it's shaitan. Oh, I didn't pray, it's shaitan. I didn't give my zakat out, it's shaitan. I indulged in something that is wrong, it's shaitan. Well and good. Like I said, we're not going to let him go scot-free. He takes a good share of the blame. But you have to acknowledge the fact that we have issues, meaning we have enemies from within, or more specifically, we have an enemy within. We are our own enemies sometimes. When Shaitan chose to defy the command of Allah, and when he gave in to his ego, when he became arrogant, when he became proud, there was no shaitan influencing him. It was himself from within. And these traits that I just mentioned, ego, arrogance, don't we all have it within us? And this is why you have to understand that at times, if you're not, don't take anything away from me today, take this statement. At times, this enemy within is more harmful to you than the enemy that is outside. Think of it. Your home, your office, your warehouse, you have this valuable gem, this valuable jewel that you have stored. Do you think it is easier for it to be stolen by a robber, by a burglar, by a thief from outside? Or sometimes we say it's an inside job. We say it's an inside job. Because inside jobs, they happen a lot faster. It's difficult to trace. They know the safe codes. They know the location. They know the timings. When you have a thief inside, it's a lot harder to catch the thief and it's a lot easier to lose the jewel also. So similarly, shaitan is an enemy outside. No one's denying that. But if your ego inside is not at check, if your nafs inside is not at check, then you are in more danger than the danger you face from shaitan outside. Because there are means to protect yourself from shaitan. That's what I'm getting at. There are means to protect yourself from the robber outside. I don't know, maybe you can put up a You can have security guards, you can have cameras, you can have, I don't know, all the works, the whole infrared system, if you will, to protect your valuables. But a burglar within, you've trusted that individual. You've trusted that person. It's someone you care. It's someone you trust, a friend, a family member, a relative. And if that person robs or steals, it's painful, it hurts, it's betrayal. So that's the same thing within. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about the nafs in the Quran, Allah describes it. There are three types of nafs. One, known as nafs al-ammarah. Allah says in Surah Yusuf, وَمَا أُبَرِّيُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. A nafs that is ever inclined towards evil, that's one particular category. The second category is nafs al-lawwama. Allah mentions in Surah Al-Qiyamah, وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَ. And this is understood as a self-reproaching nafs, a nafs that blames and reproaches. And then the last type that Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Fajr, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ. Allah talks about this peaceful nafs. So it's almost as if you can assess and determine which type of a nafs you have. And it's also an indication as to how you're supposed to work on your nafs to get it to the category mentioned in Surah Al-Fajr, which is the peaceful type of nafs. If it is a nafs that is inclined towards evil, it's that rebellious nafs that's always pushing you towards evil. So again, it's not shaitan here, it's your own nafs that's pushing you towards evil. You see, another way to assess it is during the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, if you're inclining towards sin, if you're inclining towards evil, you should know shaitan is removed from the equation. Why? Because the Prophet tells us, shaitan, all the devils are shackled, all the devils are chained up. So the month of Ramadan is a good opportunity to assess yourself. During the month of Ramadan, if you're inclining towards evil, during the month of Ramadan, if you can't control yourself, then you yourself is the problem. You need to work on yourself. And then you get into the second category, which is the self-reproaching nafs. This can work two ways. It can work in a good way where it stops you from sinning, it reproaches you, it pushes you away from sin. But some people struggle with this category. Time does not permit for me to go into detail. But some struggle with this category, where this category becomes negative for them. Do you relate? You have voices inside you. I think a lot of you will relate to this. A lot of people have spoken to me about it. You have voices inside you that are preventing you from reaching a certain potential, that's preventing you from achieving things in life, doing good things. There are voices inside you. What are those voices? This is a concept. They touch on it in psychology. They touch on it on psychotherapy. You have this inner critic inside you that stops you from achieving your full potential. It's a voice, a mean voice inside you that makes you hate yourself. It pushes you into this abyss of thinking lowly of yourself, inferiority complex. You think, I'm not good enough, or life is unfair, I've got it, you know, the worst. You keep beating yourself up and you're finding it difficult to move forward in life. This is all part of that category where you have this voice inside you that's preventing you from reaching your full potential, from loving yourself. But eventually, when you cross all of this and get to that last category, mutma'inna, it's that peaceful soul. That critical voice inside has now become an inner coach. You see, there's a difference between an inner critic and an inner coach. The inner coach is now pushing you towards achieving your full potential. It is pushing you towards positivity. It is pushing you towards goodness. And it is a peaceful soul. And this soul, it is free of ego. It is free of arrogance. It is free of all toxic qualities. In this very masjid, I've mentioned this hadith, I think, a couple of times. The hadith is in the book of Imam Muslim, but people are not familiar with it. The Prophet ﷺ says that people who will go to paradise will be people who have hearts like the hearts of birds. Hearts of birds. Why? Because their hearts will be light. like a bird, like a sparrow. Think about it. The bird flies out in the morning, comes back in the evening with its belly full. It does not harbor envy, hatred, grudges, and anger towards any other creation of Allah. So we need to work on our hearts to get to that peaceful category. And if you do get there, subhanallah, you are fortunate, because Allah says in the Quran, irji'i ila rabb. It'll be said to that nafs, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Return to your Lord in a manner that the soul is pleased and Allah is pleased with the soul. So with that we conclude. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins, to accept our good deeds, to ease our affairs, and just as how he united us here, may he unite us in the gardens of Jannah in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wa, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.